Yeah, did you see that award-winning SBS documentary Go Back to Where You Came From on the telly last year? It followed six Australians as they embarked on a 25-day journey, and they were tracing in reverse the journeys that refugees have taken to reach Australia. And each of these six Australians started out with quite a clear opinion on the asylum seeker debate, and by the end of the journeys, you'd have to say that most of them had pretty much shifted their point of view. I guess the basic message of that documentary was that the journeys taken by refugees are not planned. They're all about somehow starting over again, setting yourself against adversity and heartbreak and racism. And I was reminded of that series by a new collection of short stories. It's called Alien Shores, Tales of Refugees and Asylum Seekers from Australia to the Indian Subcontinent. There are 19 stories in this book, really short stories, most of them, and they're written by well-known authors. There's Armitage Ghosh and Arnold Zabel and a few others, and some newer authors too. One of the contributors is Suzanne Gervais. She's written many books about children facing difficulties. Her most recent, you will remember, because it's Ships in the Field. You remember the joke there? I can see the ships in the field. The bar, those sort of ships. It's the story of her family's migration to Australia from Hungary back in 1951. Suzanne, welcome back.
I'm happy to be here.
Nice to see you face to face this time. You were in a studio somewhere else in Australia when I last spoke to you.
Yes, I was in Sydney in the TARDIS. My favourite studio.
That's right, the TARDIS. It's that little ABC joke we call the little studios where we interview people, the TARDIS. I know it's not that funny, but it amuses me every time. Now, also joining me is one of the editors of Alien Shores, Sharon Rundle. Hi, Sharon.
Hello, Mike.
How did all this come about?
Well, the impetus for Alien Shores, I think, came from the encouragement we have from our first volume, which was Fear Factor, Terror Incognito, which dealt with the theme of terrorism. And many of the stories that came in went beyond that and was looking at the plight of refugees. We had a story by Rosie Scott called Tender Mercies, one by Jeremy Fisher called The Liberation Centre, and Mira Kant's The Veiled Ones, which took us into that territory. And at the time, a lot of media discussion was going on about the boats coming in, what we were going to do with all these people, how are we going to deal with them? Should we turn back the boats?
Yeah.
And all, you remember the media went, you know, quite wild with all the sort of discussion.
Yes, and that discussion is still there. I mean, it's all pent up.
It could
erupt any old time.
So the idea of Alien Shores came as a sort of natural follow-up to that first book. The stories in Alien Shores are an effort to recognise these threatened and submerged histories and to give them names and to validate them.
Right.
A former detention centre officer at the Refugee Detention Centre revealed in an inquiry that many officers thought asylum seekers were criminals. He said, "I was once told you are the cat, they are the rat, and don't forget that."
Right. Okay. So you're really taking on that kind of mindset.
Yes.
Now, Suzanne, there's some involvement of Geoffrey Rush in all of this.
Yes. Geoffrey Rush, Australian of the Year, made a plea to authors to write stories about the displaced and people who are looking for home through war and economic dislocation. The thing is, story is one of the most powerful forms of emotional engagement. You know, when you look at people who are strangers, it makes you afraid. I mean, we're just human beings. People aren't bad. They're just afraid of people who are different. But once you emotionally engage in story, it becomes your story. You're that mum,
yeah,
or you're that child.
Well, the other person stops being different, don't they? I mean,
that's right.
That's the issue. I suppose they're still different because difference can be exciting, but you suddenly empathise with them and they don't seem sort of evil or insidious. And we all know this even when you travel. You know, if you go to a country you've never been to before where you're the visitor, you can be very, very wary, and then suddenly someone will commit an act of kindness, or, you know, you expect to be ripped off by a taxi driver even, and actually he treats you kindly and takes you exactly where you want to go, and you think, this is unbelievable. This man has actually taken to me this impossible address I never thought we'd find. It's just those little gestures of human kindness that open up our shared humanity.
And story is such an important way to actually reach people. That's what Geoffrey Rush says, and I agree with him, I have to say. You know, I mean, when I was writing, I mean, I write often about young people because they are very much party to the whole alien shores. You know, when parents are, you know, forced to leave their homes, they often take children, and children are a very strong emotional issue within displacement.
Also, it's the children who create the sense of belonging in the new place, because the parents are always, you know, well, unless they can't go back because conditions in the old country are just intolerable, but the parents' generation have some kind of longing to go back, whereas the children are looking forward, aren't they? And they make friends with the other people in the new town and begin to speak the new language. And it's so optimistic, actually. It's the children who give you hope. It's you know, I've taught in inner urban schools where there were just kids from all over the world, and actually it was so inspiring.
And they're so gorgeous. I mean, they just don't even see colour or difference. They just see, you know, community, and you're right. They're looking for hope. They see the world as hopeful, and they are our new people.
I had a parent, a friend of mine who's a parent, who told me about her son who had a little friend called Tim, and she wanted to bring Tim home, and we're always hearing about Tim, and eventually Tim comes home. And when Tim finally comes home, Tim is black.
Yes.
And the parents said, you know, there'd been no mention of the fact that this kid was black, because, you know, my child never saw that. It just didn't matter.
At the same time, Julian Burnside at the launch last night made the point that many of the people that come here, although they're looking for a new start because of the dreadful persecution or whatever it was that has made them leave their homeland, at the same time, many have a great longing to one day return.
Mm.
A lot of people think that Australia is, well, it is God's own country in a way, but a lot of people think, you know, they want to come here because Australia is such a wonderful place, and that's partly true. But at the same time, it's not an easy thing to leave that country, and it's not something that they plan to do. And most do have a deep longing to return one day to their homeland.
Yes, I mean, that's a longing in all travellers. Mm. I mean, the people on the first fleet long to return, didn't they? Really. Now, so okay, well, you've put together this collection of authors, some of them very well known, some not so well known. How did it all come together?
Well, a lot of credit goes to my co-editor, Menakshi, from Delhi. Some 10 years ago we met and started working together. And the first volume came about because of the events in the news, particularly in Australia, where we came caught up in this worry about terrorism. And then there was the Dr. Hanif scandal. Then there were the Indian students being attacked. I mean, actually, I thought perhaps it was time to get together and do a kind of transnational volume to bring Australians and Indians together.
All right, so that's why there's so much Indian material.
It is, yes.
Right, so this is Menakshi Bharat.
It is,
okay,
yes.
So I suppose that explains why Amitav Ghosh is there.
Yes, and Jamil Ahmed, who's, I think, in his 70s now and has just published his first stories, and he was on the Afghani-Pakistan border for some years. And his story from The Wandering Falcon is, I think, kind of epitomises the kind of issues that India has to deal with. They have hundreds of thousands of refugees flooding into India.
They're very short, some of these stories.
They are, particularly Sophie's, which I thought was a wonderful, timeless story to begin the collection.
Yeah, well, I really actually enjoyed that. I mean, they were so poignant, and some of them are just kind of an incident, really, aren't they?
Mm.
Given almost kind of poetic treatment.
Mm.
And perhaps we should talk to you, Suzanne, about your story.
Oh, that was such a powerful story. My brother is an engineer. Normally he's really annoying, but in this matter I sort of admired him. He went over to Timor to help reconstruction, you know, over independence when so many of the schools and, you know, buildings were destroyed. And a lot of the Timorese went to Darwin as refugees temporarily. And I was in Darwin and met some of them. And they're so beautiful and they're so assimilated and they're so much part of the vibrant Darwin community, which is very, very integrated and with many diverse cultures. When I was there, I just saw kids playing and so on. And one of the issues at the time was that a lot of these Timorese people and children, who that was their home, were being threatened to be sent back to Timor. And yet they were going to school here. They were part of the community. So it made me very interested in Timor. But it was really a greater interest than that. My background, as you know, is I'm the child of refugees, and I believe the story is the same.
Yeah.
And
let's remind the listener about your story. So your parents came from Hungary in 1951.
Yes, they went through Nazism and through Stalinism, and they left everything they knew. They were afraid, but my father had spent years in forced labour, and they were going to take him back to Russia as a prisoner again, and they knew they had to leave. They didn't want to leave. They were Hungarian through and through. My mother's father was a professor from the university in Budapest. He was in engineering. My father used to have land before it was taken by the Stalinists. But they still loved the culture there, you know, the music, the life, their friends. But they realised that my dad especially was going to be taken. They were going to take him again. He was going to die. And so they left everything. They told no one, and they were afraid. They left their house and so on. They crossed the minefields illegally from Hungary to freedom in Austria, where they were in a refugee camp, and they were selected by Australia. Mm. And they were really, really happy because it meant an opportunity of freedom, education, hope. But they had no language, no English language. And, of course, they started their life here as many, many migrants do.
So, Suzanne, when you hear the modern stories, these resonate with you. You do feel in your own DNA that we've been here before.
Look, the stories in Alien Shores are my stories. They're the stories of all people who are displaced and find home. They're stories of fear and love and the fact that you make enormous, you make enormous sacrifices to find a new hope, a new life, and for your children. My story, my story about Timor and about the children is the enormous courage required by all refugees to leave war, to find new hope. But still, there are so many tragedies in the past, and that's sort of part of their DNA.
I mean, I suppose I don't want to give away your story because it's simply a punchline, really, your story. But it's about a frightened little girl.
Yes.
Who's got good reason to be frightened, and we find out at the end of the story why she's so frightened. And I guess the striking thing about this is that you've written this in the first person. And as I was reading it, I thought, I wonder what gives Suzanne the authority to write this in the first person. Where did she find the sense that she was licensed to tell this story? But, I mean, I think you've explained that.
Do you know what? It doesn't matter if it's East Timor or Sudan or Hungary. It doesn't matter. I actually know what displacement is, and my parents were displaced. The children feel it, and it's my story. Yeah. It doesn't matter where.
What happens when you read the other stories in the collection?
I cry because I know those stories, and you know some of them. When I hear that, you know, people have there's a terrible story where one of the refugees is putting body parts together, trying to find a hole. And I just cry because I know my family's been there. I know so many. And it resonates with me. And I don't care that they're Afghans. I don't care. I just know it's our story.
Yeah. Well, they are very, very poignant stories. It's been good to have you. And Sharon, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Michael.
It's good. And congratulations on this collection. It's a very moving experience. And a nourishing experience, you know. I mean, I suppose it's hard to convince people that they would buy a book like this and enjoy it because it seems like, oh, I know this and really, you know, I'd rather read something that'll cheer me up. Yes. But actually, it's an encounter of a quite powerful and poignant kind.
And one of the things that we were really pleased with, Meenakshi and I, was the variety of perspectives. So they're not all the same story.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's a kaleidoscope, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And Suzanne, it's good to catch up with you again.
Good to catch up with you too.
Suzanne Gervais, she's one of the authors who's contributed to Alien Shore. She's also an official ambassador for the National Year of Reading. And Sharon Rundle is co-editor of the book. It's called Alien Shores, Tales of Refugees and Asylum Seekers from Australia and the Indian Subcontinent. And it's published by who?
Brass
Monkey Books, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.